You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
We're playing unselfish and sharing it and making good decisions and good reads and making threes. Then, you know, that's when we're at our best.
Making threes tonight. Ball movement not really to the levels that we talked about prior to this game, but the second half was the most impressive part of this. It's exactly what you wanted to see and frankly needed to see from this Bucks team, as it got a little too close for comfort in that first half. We have seen the Bucks have a tendency to do this. You go no further than just a couple of games ago when the Indiana Pacers beat the Bucks inside of this building, and you started to feel a little uneasy at times. But a big close to the first half, where it was a two-point game. Before you knew it, it was a 15-point game at halftime, and that lead never got down to single digits in the second half, as the Bucks did enough to power past the San Antonio Spurs tonight, and more importantly, keep that distance on the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Three games in the loss column separating the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers, as the Bucks improve to 52-20 on the season. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Old National Bank, get old. You got a big four-game road trip coming up now. And of those final 10 games, only four are at home. So you have four on the road right away. And then four of your final six are here inside of Fiserv Forum. But this is a big road trip because it starts very difficult. The Utah Jazz still continuing to linger and hang around in that play-in tournament race in the Western Conference. Right now, by the way, the Jazz are 10th. And would be in that play-in tournament. If the season ended today, the Jazz would be playing the Dallas Mavericks, with the loser going home, the winner still alive for a chance at the 8th seed. So you got a very game Utah Jazz team who continue to get some big performances from Lauri Markkanen, closing in on 40 points already tonight. And it is frankly a place the Bucks have historically not performed very well. They did win last year, for the first time in two decades. You had to go all the way back to the 2002 season, the last time the Bucks won a game in Utah, up until last season. But it hasn't been kind, those road trips to Utah. And then a back-to-back where you go from Utah to Denver to take on a Nuggets team that hasn't been playing great out of the All-Star break, but they may have started to right the ship recently. And, oh, by the way, you have to deal with one of the three best players in the NBA in Nikola Jokic. So that is the start of this four-game road trip. You wrap it up with two divisional games you frankly need to win, because you've reached the point in this schedule where those games against teams behind you in the standings, especially to the level that the other two on that road trip, the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons, are, you need to win those games. As we mentioned, these are the types of games, if you drop them, you point to at the end of the season and say, that could be the game that cost us our seeding. For the Boston Celtics, they just had one of those in Houston against the Rockets. The Bucks had that exact team in that exact situation 2 years ago when they lost in Houston late in the season, and that was really what ultimately cost them home court advantage and the two seed in that second round series with the Brooklyn Nets. So it's all about taking care of business in those games you should win, and hopefully you would love to win both of those games in Utah and Denver, but at this point, you got to split them, because the Sixers are still on your heels and the Boston Celtics have that ultimate equalizer. Both of these teams do, Philly and Boston. If they each win those games here in Milwaukee, they both have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Bucks. So that's the importance of this upcoming road trip. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. 36-point home win tonight that sends the Bucks on the road for a big four-game road trip. And again, a big final 10 games remaining on the schedule. We've talked a lot about probabilities. I will tell you what this win means tonight. Take a look at the schedule ahead for both the Celtics and the 76ers, because it gets much more difficult for one of those two teams in the very near future. We'll give you the details and hear from you after this on Bucks Talk.
Rebound glances off the hands of Portis, picked up by Holiday. He'll go the other way, ambles into the front court. He's at the top of the arc. Lobs up top. There's the seventh dunk of the night for Giannis. Sends that one down on another alley-oop, and that is too easy.
Two of his 31 points tonight in just 24 minutes of work as the Bucks dominate the Spurs in the second half en route to a 36-point win. 130-94 final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and to kick things off. Checking in with Ricky in Honey Creek. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, just want to say, I called in on Sunday and I said, you know, on Wednesday, the Bucks are playing against San Antonio, and the Spurs, they're not going to make the playoffs. And the Bucks, they can't take it easy because we're getting down the home stretch, close with the Celtics and 76ers still fighting for that number one seed. And the Bucks really fought hard, and they get a 36-point win and to increase their lead. And so now they're three losses ahead of Boston here with 10 games to go. Makes it that much harder for the Celtics and 76ers to try to get that number one seed. They can only do that if they win a lot of games and the Bucks just all of a sudden like lose a whole majority of their last 10 games here, which I don't think that's going to happen, but it's basketball, anything can happen. So Giannis, another 30-plus point game tonight. And then struggling from the free throw line. I mean, hitting just 2 of 5. So, again, I mean, I've said this before. Giannis needs to get more on those free throws. I mean, sometimes if the Bucks are down to a crunch time, you look at the free throws and be like, man, Giannis, if you had hit that one, maybe if a couple more, we could have won this game or something. Then you got Bobby Portis. Another double-double, and the Bucks able to do it this tonight without Crowder, Dragić, or Myers-Leonard, and waiting to see whether those guys will be able to come back hopefully soon and seeing this team go on. And I just had a question for you about whether you think in the next couple of games here you're going to see Dragić and Crowder and Myers-Leonard coming back.
Well, thanks for the call, Ricky. It's a great question to kind of segue into some of the words we heard from Coach Budenholzer prior to this game. But your comments or point, too, about the standings, it's all going to come down to those two games that are here in a little over a week, on the 30th and on April 2nd. Because for both the Celtics and the Sixers, I'm not going to say their only chance is this, but really their best chance to catching the Bucks is winning those two games. If they win, if the Celtics beat the Bucks and or the Sixers beat the Bucks, that's the road path. That's the roadmap for both those teams. That's what they need. They need to win that game to have a good shot at passing the Bucks. They can still do it. Math isn't on their side, and especially if they lose that game. For the Bucks, if you lose both of them, it's not great. If you lose one of the two, it doesn't mean you won't get the one seed. You probably still have a mathematical advantage, but if you win both of those games, it's over. So whoever wins those matchups, that's who's in the driver's seat for the one seed. And what the Bucks have done with the way they've played, and I think it's clear, we've seen this really in this month of March. It's been ever since leading into the All-Star break where this team started that 18-game win streak. It really started January 23rd when Chris Middleton made his return to the floor. But especially in the second half of the season, the Bucks have played with a clear purpose, and you would really point to just the Pacers game when you lost that game as the first game since December, early January, I take that back, early January, when you lost to the Charlotte Hornets in this building. First game since then where you looked at it and you said, how did we lose that game? That's a game you have to win. They have been focused on the one seed. We heard from Grayson Allen at practice today saying, yeah, we know there's a bigger goal out there, but we're focused on getting the one seed. Bud was asked about it a couple of weeks ago. We expected a typical, look, we're just playing the team that's in front of us. We're looking at the schedule. We're trying to build good habits and get better every day. But you heard, yeah, it is advantageous to get that one seed. We're trying to build good habits, get better every day, but it is something we're focused on. You've heard more and more of that from this team, and you heard some rumblings a couple of weeks ago that, oh, the Bucks kind of regretted the way they handled the end of the season last year. I don't know how much of that is true. I don't think home court advantage is what decided that Boston Celtics series. If Game 7 was in Milwaukee, I don't think that means the Bucks win. Health was the bigger issue. They didn't have Chris Middleton. They didn't have a very deep team as the playoffs rolled around. When you look at some of the minutes and the rotations in that Celtics series, I mean, look at minute by minute who played the most in that series against the Celtics. It is absolutely astounding when you look at some of those minutes totals and compare it to what we project if those same two teams match up in the postseason this year, what we would think the minute totals would be. Chris Middleton's injury was a big part of that. But it is startling to see the number of minutes some of the members of that team got. It wasn't a very deep team when the injury set in, especially on the perimeter, and that was their biggest issue. It wasn't not having home court advantage. It was just not having the horses, not having Chris Middleton, and then essentially running out of gas by asking everybody to move up a line in the absence of Chris Middleton. That's what cost the Bucks in that series against the Boston Celtics. Not so much not having the two seed and not having home court. But if you go back a year prior to that, I know the Bucks were a three seed. But the way you closed out the season 2 years ago when, oh, by the way, you went on to win an NBA championship, you felt a lot better about it. And I know a lot of you listening didn't feel that way at the time. We had those same conversations and talked about it on this very show. A lot of Bucks fans wanted no part of the Miami Heat. You were still scared off by what happened in the bubble. We tried to explain, look, do the blind resume. Take away the names of these two teams, match them up, put them line by line, and tell me who you would pick. 9 times out of 10, you're going to pick the team that would be revealed to be the Bucks to win that series in 4 or 5 games. The Heat were not a good team, and you saw the Bucks playing to get that three seed, saying, look, we're playing to win. We could drop down a line. We're playing to win. We want this team. We don't care if we get the Miami Heat. We're playing to win and go into the playoffs on a high note. Talk about the basketball gods looking down on you. It felt like that's what you got. You embraced that challenge. You played to win down the stretch. You got some favorable bounces and some things that happened to your benefit in that second round series against the Nets. You got the same thing with Giannis coming back from an injury we thought would derail him for 18 months at the end of the conference finals and into the NBA finals, and it ultimately got you an NBA championship. It's not to say the Bucks ducked anybody last year, but it was just a much different vibe, and I think we're seeing more of that vibe this year that we did 2 years ago when this is a team playing to win and focused into going into the playoffs, focused on going into the playoffs on a high note and playing their best basketball. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. I mentioned some of those minutes and how astounding it is to take a look at who played the most. Who was getting the most minutes, I should say, for the Bucks in that series against the Boston Celtics? I'm not going to leave the tease out there. I will tell you what those minutes were and how we project it to be very, very different if those same two teams match up in the postseason this year. Also, speaking of the Celtics, we may have seen the turning point. We may have seen that team wake up and get one of those wins you need to get 24 hours ago. So we'll take a look at that and the schedule for the Celtics and the 76ers after this on Bucks Talk.
turnover is the only issue for the Bucks here in this quarter so far. Joe Ingles going to tee up a three late in the shot clock, and he splashes another one down. He is now 3 of 4 from long range.
Joe Ingles continues to just do wonders for this offense, especially in the half court. I do think we pitched him on the idea of 7-11. I don't think he quite comprehended what we were trying to say. Not we weren't telling Joe Ingles to go to 7-11 tonight, but just that it's always open. And you and Brooke, you're number 7, he's number 11. That feed, the chemistry between the two of you is always open as well. Saw it one time tonight. We actually saw it twice. Once it led to an assist to Brooke Lopez. Another, it created an open lane for Joe Ingles. And it's so tough to defend that play because Joe Ingles is such a good passer. Wherever he is, he told us tonight some of those turnovers that happened early. And if you go back, watch the games or look at the box score, you'll see a lot of turnovers for Joe Ingles as soon as he was starting with this team. Coach Bud told us basically immediately, you know, his turnovers a lot of times are where he's trying to make that connective pass and make a play and get guys going, get the offense moving. You don't so much have a problem with that. And Joe said tonight, those turnovers were my fault early. It was still working on that chemistry with Brooke. That was kind of the issue, and we're getting there. It's not just Brooke. It's everybody in this team that I've gotten more minutes with him. I've gotten more comfortable. And I think the Bucks have adjusted to Joe Ingles because they have not had a half-court player like Joe Ingles. This group hasn't ever. And his ability to do what he does, specifically be a 6'10" point guard, and the way that he can find the open man, those connective passes are something this team just has not had. It's difficult to defend that pick and roll because you have to stick with Brooke Lopez. You know, Joe talked tonight about Brooke's ability to score at all three levels. Think about the last game out there against the Toronto Raptors, where Brooke Lopez took over in the fourth quarter. He can still be that Brooklyn version of Brooke Lopez and score this back to the basket. We see him knock down quite a few of those face-up mid-range jumpers. The jump hook or the push shot, the floater, the big man floater in the paint, he knocks down at a high regularity, and of course the outside shot. So as skilled as Brooke Lopez is and his ability to put the ball on the floor and score, you have to stick with him when he's the roller going to the rim, but then you're kind of put in an awkward spot of who's taking him. Do we peel off of Joe Ingles? Or do we leave Joe Ingles open, who at this point, as Dave Kane said tonight, he's not even hitting rim. He is just connecting all net on his shots of late. So it is a very deadly combination between the two of those guys and just adding more to the pick-and-roll game. We thought it would be Joe Ingles and Giannis. I talked about that the most. A lot of people said, man, Joe Ingles is so good in the pick-and-roll. Imagine him with Giannis. But what we've seen is it's Joe Ingles getting everybody involved, specifically Brooke Lopez. And again, the offense, night and day difference between now and earlier in the season. The big difference is our health and more chemistry between guys like Joe Ingles and the other members of the team. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. All right, I do want to do this first. I mentioned some of these numbers, and we've talked about this a little bit. We're still 10 games away from the playoffs. But it is worth pointing one thing out, and that is the depth that this team has. Now, I think we all learned, if you didn't already know, a couple of years ago, it's not so much depth. You can't play everyone. And the deeper you get in the playoffs, you pare it down, usually to 8 guys, maybe 9, depending on who those guys are. But last year, in that series against the Boston Celtics, and look, Nick Nurse said it the other night, this is an incredibly deep team. They basically have 10 starters or guys that would be pushing to start on other teams when you look up and down the roster. They're 5 starters. They got a bench full of guys, too. Joe Ingles could be pushing to start on some teams. Bobby Portis would be starting on a lot of teams. So depth is not an issue with this Bucks team. Even Javon Carter, the way he's played, would be pushing to start on some teams in this league. So it's a very deep team. But last year, that series against the Boston Celtics, again, it's playable depth. That is what you need the most. Guys that you trust in absolutely any situation, in the postseason. Any matchup, any team, you trust them and you know you can throw them out there for 20-plus minutes regardless of who the opponent is or how they play. That's what you strive for. And last year, I think we would say the Bucks had two of those players. It was basically down to Giannis and Drew Holiday. Brook Lopez, close. It was matchup dependent, and a lot of that had to do with the players around Brook Lopez. When you chipped more and more away, it wasn't as easy to have Brook Lopez out there against varying types of personnel. Last year in that series against the Boston Celtics, where you played seven games, Drew Holiday played the most minutes at 283 minutes in that series. Now, it's a fairly easy guess who played the second most minutes in that series. Giannis was at 280 minutes. So Drew Holiday averaged just over 40 minutes a game. Giannis averaged exactly 40 minutes a game. After that, you saw a pretty steep drop-off down to 205 minutes, and there were two players that each played 205 minutes in that series against the Boston Celtics. Tommy, do you have a guess at one of those two? Third most minutes on the team in the playoff series against the Celtics at 205 minutes.
Ooh. Grayson Allen on that list?
Grayson Allen, close. Grayson Allen played 185 minutes.
Okay.
Brook Lopez played 188 minutes. Bobby Portis played 178 minutes. So between those three names that I just gave, we're talking about 25 to 30 minutes in seven games. So 4 minutes, 5 minutes a game, separating those three guys from the two guys that played the third most minutes in that series. Those two guys were Wesley Matthews and Pat Connaughton. So you had Giannis and Drew Holiday far and away the most minutes, and then after that, Wes and Pat each played 205 minutes, third most on the team. If we get to the postseason, fast forward to the postseason this year, if we get to a series with the Boston Celtics, I should say, not if we get to the postseason, that's going to happen. But if we get to a series with the Boston Celtics and this team is healthy, there is no chance Wesley Matthews and Pat Connaughton are finishing with the third most minutes in that series unless it's a series reminiscent of what we saw between the Bucks and the Celtics in 2019. When you look up and down the roster, we talk about that playable depth. You know what you're going to get from Giannis. You know what you're going to get from Drew. Nights like tonight and really the last few games, I think we're starting to get to the point, you know what you're going to get from Chris Middleton. And it's important to note, he was out there late tonight, and I think that's we're gradually ticking up his minutes. You've seen him at 30-plus minutes more and more these last few weeks. Brook Lopez, when this team is healthy, you know what you're getting from Brook. We talk about connectivity a lot. It's all connected. You saw how the defense fell apart without Brook last year. We saw how the offense started to fall apart without Chris this year. All four of those guys, with the minutes that they played together, the series that they've been through, they're all connected. So I would put Brook Lopez in that mix. And then after that, I think Jay Crowder is going to play a lot, assuming he's healthy. You've already seen him in some of those closing situations with this team. Wesley Matthews, we have seen play, as we just mentioned, quite a bit last year, but we have seen him play against the Boston Celtics. Bobby Portis, you saw it, and he gave you, 178 minutes last year. Grayson Allen, to me, that's the big thing. You had to play Grayson Allen quite a bit in that series last year, even though it wasn't a great matchup. You don't have to do that this year. And same for Pat Connaughton, who's another guy you'd love to see games like tonight, Pat, to start to find that shooting stroke. That's the good thing, is if you didn't add, and oh, by the way, Joe Ingles is going to get a lot of those minutes as well. So right there, we're talking about six guys at least already that are in front of Wesley Matthews, Pat Connaughton, potentially Bobby Portis, Goran Dragic, and Javon Carter. That's how deep this team is, and that's how different it is from where they were a season ago in that series against the Boston Celtics. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank Talk and Text line. Let's head back to those phone lines and talk with Will I Am. You're up next on the show.
Hey, Justin, Tommy, how we doing? Bucks Talk, man, what a huge win. And like I said, I got 2 points and then one to go off of yours. I am extremely high and up on Joe Ingles tonight. Again, I missed it a little bit earlier in the breakdown of you talking about him, but his ability to just get on fire from three and also be, you know, I don't want to, you know, disrespect him, but like the Larry Bird style, you know, I'll slowly bring it down to cross it over, maybe a pick and pop, pick and dish, or even, you know, a little finger roll to the layup. You know, that's going to be huge in the playoffs to take off those minutes and possessions, especially if we make them when, you know, Giannis and Chris or Drew are not hitting. And then my last 2 points, it was really great to see Marjan get into the game. I'm really happy that we went to the bench. And, you know, I love when Bud does play our bench due to, like you said, it is so deep. And lastly, to comment on your last point, we're going to need our core bad this year in the playoffs. And like I said, it doesn't need to be 200-plus minutes from Pad or Wesley, but we need those guys hungry, and we need a good, valuable rotation on each rotation, from subs to bench to whatever. And like I said, I don't think we can be stopped when we get that deep with, you know, six guys pushing it like that. Justin, what do you think, you know, if we get six-plus guys going against the Celtics? I think that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, and it comes down to this. I trust Giannis. I trust Drew. I trust Chris. I trust Brook Lopez. I trust Joe Ingles. I trust Jay Crowder. We're already up to six trustworthy guys. You weren't there with the injury to Chris Middleton a season ago. I don't have distrust in Grayson Allen. But again, it just changes having Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder and everybody else in the mix, because you're asking Grayson Allen to do different things, and you're not playing him out of position. You're not asking him to do things you shouldn't be. You're not putting him in a position to fail. You're keeping him in a position to succeed. Guys like Pat Connaughton, who, again, the shot just hasn't been there this year. Same can be said for him and Wesley Matthews. You can pick and choose how and where you use those guys if you stay healthy. So that's the big caveat and the asterisk here is health. If you can stay healthy, if you can avoid anything, even minor, to those six guys we listed at the top, that's huge, and that's why you feel great about where this team is heading into the postseason. Thanks a lot for the phone call. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. And look, along those lines, we talked a lot about this team, but especially this offense, since January 23rd when Chris Middleton made his return to the floor. If you look at some of the individual numbers, not all of these are going to translate and carry into the postseason. But I look at the offense because you've had basically all of your pieces in place. Bobby Portis came back about a month after Chris Middleton returned. Chris Middleton was there, save for three games during this stretch. So at this point, we're talking about 25 games the Bucks have played since January 23rd. Javon Carter, who continues to hit the three at a high volume, in that stretch is shooting 47% on threes. AJ Green, 46% that he's shooting in his limited minutes in that stretch. Joe Ingles, though, 45% shooting since January 23rd on his three-pointers, and he's taken 4.5 a game. Grayson Allen has taken 6 a game. He's shooting 40%. Bobby Portis, who, again, had the shot go in and out a lot earlier in the season. Bobby Portis is shooting 40% on his threes in that time period. Jay Crowder, not a huge sample size. Jay Crowder shooting 39%. And Drew Holiday's down to 36. Oh, by the way, Giannis is shooting 36%. It's been Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton that have struggled the most of your regulars, shooting 35%, each of those two guys, and Pat Connaughton, too, at 34.5%. But you've consistently gotten that type of shooting, and the Joe Ingles one especially is what stands out, because the eyeball test tells you, man, it feels like Joe Ingles is shooting at an incredibly high volume. It started in mid-February, it felt like. Right around the All-Star break is when it seemed like that shot was falling at a high regularity. But since January 23rd, since Chris Middleton returned, this team has obviously been very, very good. And with Joe Ingles shooting 46% on his three-point attempts during that stretch. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Still three games separating the Bucks and the Celtics, and the Bucks and the 76ers in the loss column. We will take a look at the schedule ahead for both those teams because it does get markedly more difficult for one of those two teams. We'll take a look at it after this on Bucks Talk. 36-point home win tonight for the Bucks, who take care of the San Antonio Spurs. 130-94. So again, they are 52-30 now on the season. And if we go back, 52-20, I beg your pardon. If we go back to where this team was January 23rd, you got the sense Chris Middleton's return was very, very close. And it was confirmed. Chris Middleton will play on the 23rd against the Detroit Pistons. Well, in that time, the Bucks have gone 22-3. Best record in the NBA, and we're talking about basically a third of the season, best record in the NBA at 22-3. They are the only team during that stretch that is in the top five in offensive rating, where they are currently fifth at 118.1. Defensive rating, where they are third at 109.6. And net rating, where they are first at 8.5. By the numbers, the Bucks have clearly been the best team in the league. And I've seen a lot of chatter of, yeah, but if you go back a couple of months, it's been the 76ers that have been the best team in the league. And let's just say, fine, we'll go back to the start of the calendar year. Since January 1st of 2023, the Bucks are still the best team in the league at 28-8. 76ers are second at 27-9. So what we have seen in this calendar year is the Bucks and the Sixers have clearly been the two best teams in basketball. Nuggets have been okay. They're 26-12. Boston Celtics have not been the same juggernaut they were earlier in the season. They've gone 24-13 since January 1, but it's been the Bucks and the Sixers that have been that good. Bucks offense 13th in the league since January 1st. Defense is 4th in the league. Net rating is 4th as well. But it's been very clear, and that's why that game next Thursday is even more important. It has been very clear it's the Bucks and the Sixers that are starting to distance themselves. Now, maybe what we saw last night in Sacramento, maybe that was a sign that you can't pour dirt on the Boston Celtics just yet. A big win in Sacramento against the Kings. Now, it is worth pointing out, the Kings were on night two of a back-to-back. But it was still an impressive win nonetheless, where the Celtics took what was a close game for the first quarter and three quarters of that second quarter, and blew it open early in the third quarter. That's the team you're concerned with, because you saw their wing depth on display. It was Jaylen Brown, who has been much better than Jason Tatum in the second half of the season. Jaylen Brown was big in that game. Marcus Smart hit some big threes for him. Derek White continues to be maybe their best point guard. Jason Tatum still had an, oh, by the way, nice game. But they have that wing depth. The big difference for the Celtics is what we saw from Boston early last season, where that team just wasn't connected. There was a lot of hero ball. There wasn't a whole lot of ball movement. The defense wasn't great. It's kind of creeped its head in there again. You know there's still that other version of the Celtics lurking and able to show up at any moment, and we saw that last night. So that's what makes them dangerous. And that's why it's even more important knowing that team exists and knowing the 76ers have been very good for going on 3 months now, that's why it's even more important to get the one seed and let those two teams deal with each other. Let those two teams play a seven-game series in the second round. Not that you may not as well, but let them deal with that and knock each other off, and you wait for the winner. That's why that's important. So it does change very dramatically for both the Celtics and the 76ers. The Boston Celtics, I mentioned this on our network postgame show. Even if the Celtics go 8-1 in their final nine games, that would put them at 58 wins. That means the Bucks would have to go 6-4 to match that. So if the Bucks play just above 500, they'll finish with the same amount of wins as the Celtics. If the Celtics go 8-1, it all boils down to that matchup. If the Celtics win it, they win the one seed, and they'll have the tiebreaker. If the Bucks win it, they go 6-4, but one of those six is a win against the Celtics, they'll have the tiebreaker. So that's why we keep pointing to the loss column, because you can't get rid of those. Those are there to stay. You can only add wins. You can't subtract losses, and that's why it's three games. Three games is essentially the lead for the Bucks, and that's why those numbers, 8-1, that's why the Celtics would need to do that if the Bucks so much as played just barely above 500. So that's why we keep saying the math is predominantly on the Bucks' side. The only thing that would change that is losing in those two games against the Celtics and the 76ers. But I mentioned that schedule gets different for both of these teams. For one of them, it gets increasingly difficult. We'll take a look at the road ahead for all three of these teams, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the 76ers, after this on Bucks Talk. 36-point win for the Bucks tonight. Inside of Fiserv Forum, they take down the San Antonio Spurs, 130-94. So I mentioned this schedule. Nine games left for the Boston Celtics, 10 for each, the Bucks, each of the Bucks and the 76ers. For the Boston Celtics, and we saw Philly go on a charge here, but the numbers this entire time, despite the Celtics' struggles and Philly coming on strong, again, Sixers and Bucks have been the two best teams in the entire league since January 1st. The numbers have always pointed to the Celtics will still be the two seed, because here's what the Celtics have to close the season. Friday night, the Celtics, Bucks, and 76ers all play. Friday night, the Bucks are in Utah against the Jazz. The Sixers have a difficult one as well, we'll get to. Celtics are at home against the Indiana Pacers. And then Sunday, Celtics are at home against these San Antonio Spurs. And then Tuesday, the 28th, the Celtics are on the road against the Wizards. Three teams, all below 500. Then they come to Milwaukee for that matchup with the Bucks. Then they have a home game with the Utah Jazz, who already beat them just a couple of days ago. And then they go on the road to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. After that, three games at home to close out the season. Two against the Raptors, one against the Hawks. Now, those last three games are teams that may be fighting to stay in the play-in tournament and or improve their play-in tournament seeding, but they are three teams, or two teams, I beg your pardon, three games below 500 and on the road in Boston. Just as we said tonight, and just as we will say with some of the games on the schedule yet for the Bucks, those are games you have to win. It's a pretty easy schedule. It has some challenges, but it's moderately difficult that the Celtics have remaining. Now, for the Philadelphia 76ers, who it is fair to point out, had the most difficult schedule in the second half of the season of any team in the NBA. And as we pointed to, all Philadelphia has done is primarily win those games. They have played incredibly well. But it really kicks up a notch in these final 10 games that the Sixers have. So, I mentioned those games specifically for the Celtics. It is the 16th most difficult remaining schedule of any team in the NBA. The Bucks have the 10th most difficult remaining schedule. And the Philadelphia 76ers far and away have the most difficult remaining schedule. For Philadelphia, I mentioned all three of those teams, Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics, all in action on Friday. Philly got some revenge tonight against the Bulls after a double overtime loss to those same Bulls at home on Monday. But Friday night, Philadelphia is in San Francisco to take on the Warriors, where the Golden State Warriors are still one of the best home teams in the league. Then one day later, they're in Phoenix to take on the Suns. Now, Kevin Durant, very, very likely out in that game. But still, a road game in Phoenix, where Phoenix is another one of those teams fighting for their seeding. Then Monday the 27th, on the road in Denver against the Nuggets, in a game that will be billed as the MVP showdown between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. And oh, by the way, the Nuggets have the best record in the Western Conference. Then Wednesday, at home against the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavs are a team that picked them apart the last time they played just a couple of weeks ago. However, you got to keep an eye on who's going to be available for the Mavericks. They then host the Raptors, and then back-to-back games on the road in Milwaukee, home against the Boston Celtics, and they close out the season with the Heat at home, at the Hawks, and at the Brooklyn Nets, who may need to win that game to avoid the play-in tournament. So it is an incredibly difficult schedule down the stretch for the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's why we continue to point to the numbers. The numbers are heavily in your favor. You just can't let some of these opportunities slip by. You have to win the games that are winnable games. You have to split these two games, Friday and Saturday, Utah and Denver. You got to get a split there. And you really need to win both of those games against the Pistons and the Pacers. If you do that with six games left and the margin is still three in the loss column, it is all but over. You would have to lose both of those games to the Celtics and the Sixers, and even more than that to keep the door open. So it's just a matter of winning these games. You can't focus, if you're the Bucks, on what the Celtics and Sixers are doing. That's for us to keep an eye on. But that's what the road is for all three of those teams. We will take a look at those Utah Jazz, preview the matchup on Friday night, and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. Tonight, as the Bucks take care of business against the San Antonio Spurs, they make sure that margin remains three in the loss column over both the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. It's an important win, because it's an important road trip that begins on Friday night. So it is one of those late nights, two of those late nights, not quite as late as we had a couple of weeks ago in Sacramento and Phoenix, but Mountain Time basketball nonetheless. 8 o'clock tip Friday night in Utah against the Jazz, and another 8 o'clock tip on Saturday night in Denver against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. And Tommy, you better bring some coffee for both of those games, because we're going to be going into the early morning hours with Bucks Talk.
Oh, yeah. Yep, jacked up, baby.
What does that mean?
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do it.
It's a big road trip, though. Again, you haven't had a whole lot of success in Utah. It's a Jazz team that keeps playing incredibly well. Look, a mea culpa for a lot of us coming into this season. I think we all assumed the Utah Jazz would be, if not the worst, one of the 3 to 5 worst teams in all of basketball. And meanwhile, they got off to an incredibly hot start. All they've done is continue to win. And right now, 35-36 are the Utah Jazz, 10th place in the Western Conference. They're a half game up on the Los Angeles Lakers, pending the results in L.A. tonight. And by the way, Lakers are beating the Phoenix Suns late in the third quarter. So if the Lakers win that game, they'll be tied with the Utah Jazz for the 10th spot, final spot in the play-in tournament. And look, Utah has no real incentive to make that play-in tournament. That's going to be interesting to keep an eye on going into Friday as well. But Friday night, 8 o'clock tip in Utah for the Bucks and the Jazz. 7:30 is when our radio network pregame coverage will get started. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and calling into the show tonight. And to Tommy Wirtz and Chris Larson for producing the show as well. Talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.